This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Votes continue to be counted in key states for the 2020 presidential election, and North Carolina is among them. 116,200 absentee ballots are still pending, according to the State Board of Elections, and a final count may not be available until November 12th. Though many victories in the state's legislative races were decisive, remaining ballots could still impact the outcome of some tighter races, including the Office of Attorney General and two seats on the state Supreme Court. WUNC's data reporter Jason DeBruin joins us now to talk more about the votes that have already been counted and those that are still pending. Jason, welcome back.
Good afternoon. We're having fun this week, aren't we?
We certainly are. Breaking news every minute. So I'll just kind of timestamp this. It's about 12:06 on Thursday. We have this 116,200 absentee ballot number. Tell me about that number. What are these ballots?
Yeah, so maybe we'll start at the very beginning. There was almost 1.5 million absentee by mail ballots that were requested. So people that said, yes, I'd like to vote by mail. About 977,000 of those, so almost 1 million, were properly returned through the mail, either, you know, USPS or dropped off at the local Board of Elections or whatnot. There's about another 350,000 people who, although they requested a ballot, decided, you know what, I'm not going to turn it in through the mail. I'm just going to go ahead and go to a one-stop early voting site, and I'm going to go ahead and vote in person. So you start with 1.5 million, you subtract about 1 million who voted through mail, about another 350,000 who voted in person early voting, and that leaves you with that 116,000 number where we still don't know quite what happened to those votes. Now, there's a couple things that could have happened. They perhaps decided to go ahead and vote on Election Day. We don't have a way, or the Board of Elections doesn't have a way of tracking how many people that would account for. So, frankly, that it's possible that that's all 116,000. I mean, unlikely, of course, but it's certainly possible. Then, of course, there are some number of people who would have requested a ballot, gotten it in the mail, and just sort of left it sitting on their kitchen counter and won't have sent it in at all. Of course, there's also a small number, or we don't know how big, I suppose I should say, of people who have mailed in that ballot, that it was postmarked by 5 p.m. on Election Day, and that's still, you know, in transit in the mail. So, again, to recap, that 116 number is people who perhaps voted on Election Day, perhaps didn't vote at all, or perhaps have voted and sent it in the mail, and the Board of Elections is just waiting for it to come in between now and November 12th.
Okay, and I want to talk about one more number before we get to the net of all of this. So it has been announced that there are 40,766 provisional ballots left to count. That's from the North Carolina State Board of Election. Tell us about provisional ballots.
So a provisional ballot is if you perhaps go to your precinct, or excuse me, you go to a precinct, but it's perhaps not the correct precinct, right? So you got confused, you maybe went to one for an old address. Or another thing that has happened this year, it's pretty infrequent, but let's say somebody does mail in a ballot, but then doesn't on ballot tracks or wherever see that it's been counted, they go to a precinct and they say, hey, look, I just want to be sure, I'd like to also cast a provisional. Provisional just being kind of what the word suggests is that it's not something that will necessarily be counted. It's something where you're saying, hey, I made some sort of a mistake. I would like to vote. Let me just explain the mistake that I made and put my vote on this ballot. Board of Elections officials then look at your reasoning for why you made the mistake that you did, and then at that point decide, okay, this is, you know, this is reasonable. They just happened to go to the wrong precinct, whatever, no big deal. Yes, this may count. Or in, per my other example, for instance, they might say, oh, here's a provisional ballot, but on November the 7th or whatever, the mail-in ballot did arrive, and so then we'll just abandon this provisional ballot. So of that 40,000 number, again, you could have as many as 40,000 count or as few as zero.
Okay. And so from your perspective, I mean, there are a lot of folks that are feeling anxious about all of this talk about uncounted ballots. Is there anything that voters need to do if they cast a provisional ballot or put their absentee ballot in the mail late or right now? Is it all in the hands of State Board of Elections and it's kind of a waiting game?
At this point, it's a waiting game. What you can do is you can look at, on, say, ballot tracks, that's tracks with an X, and you can enter in some of your information there, and you can see if your ballot is in transit or has been accepted by the Board of Elections. That's probably really the only thing at this point that voters can do for themselves. Unfortunately, that will only tell them, if it's been accepted. Importantly, you could still what's called cure your ballot. So that is, for instance, if there's maybe a mistake with like the witness signature, or if you yourself perhaps signed it in the wrong place or in a way that's not legible, then in those cases, your ballot will not have been accepted yet. However, you will have the opportunity all the way until November the 12th to go and cure that ballot, where you go in and enter the correct information in the correct box. Now, importantly, you would have to look on ballot tracks to see if your ballot has been not accepted, and then call your local Board of Elections and say, hey, I'd like to come cure my ballot, and you can get that figured out. But that is something where the voter would have to take the initiative to go look. Don't rely on the Board of Elections reaching out to you.
Gotcha. Okay, so checking your ballot on ballot tracks is a good place to start. So let's talk about the significance of this. North Carolina has dropped out of the national conversation a little bit when we're talking about the presidential race. So talk about why that is. How does this remaining number affect, how could that affect North Carolina's outcome in the presidential race?
Right. So looking at the numbers, it's not impossible. It's not numerically impossible for Joe Biden to overtake Donald Trump. It's just mathematically really unlikely. So we talked about the 116,000 plus those 40 provisionals. So that's what, 150 or so thousand ballots that could potentially be counted. And again, as a reminder, the number is almost certainly smaller based on provisionals that will be discarded and people who voted on Election Day. Donald Trump currently in North Carolina has a lead of about 76,000 votes, actually 77 almost thousand votes. And so for Joe Biden to overtake that number, not only would a significant chunk of those absentee and provisional ballots have to be counted, which is unlikely, he would have to get an overwhelming number of votes from that tranche of ballots, also unlikely. So while it's not impossible, again, right, I don't want to say it's numerically impossible, it's just highly unlikely at this point that Vice President Biden will be able to carry North Carolina.
A couple more races I want to talk with you about. The one that was the big money race between Cal Cunningham and Tom Tillis. We know it broke spending records. Lots of focus on this for potentially shifting the makeup of the U.S. Senate. Where are we in terms of how this race will shake out, given what we know about the remaining ballots?
Same situation as the presidential race, if not more so. 77,000 in the presidential race is the differential. Well, the winning margin right now in the Senate race is actually 97,000. So there, I mean, Cal Cunningham would have to get basically every single one of those outstanding absentee and or provisional votes to overtake that margin of victory. So that one at this point is, again, not numerically close, but that one's done.
Okay, let's talk about the local races that are still too close to call, where these could really come into play, starting first with the attorney general's race between incumbent Democrat Josh Stein and challenger Jim O'Neill. Talk to us about what we know about that race so far.
Yeah, much closer there, actually fewer than 11,000 votes at this point. So that one definitely does still hang in the balance. The benefit for incumbent Josh Stein is that these absentee ballots do tend to favor the Democrat, generally speaking. So if he already has a lead of about 10,000, once those absentee by mail ballots are counted, it's possible that that lead would actually increase. Now, a few caveats, however, trends that we've seen this year are that Democrat vote by mail ballots actually tended to come in a little bit earlier, and they tended to lean more Republican as each day went by. Now, I should clarify, I don't mean that as in I know the outcomes of what the ballots were, as in I don't know who people voted for. That's based simply on the party registration of the person sending in the ballot. But we do know that that's a pretty good barometer, a pretty good indicator of how people voted. So 10,000 votes clearly is small enough for 11,000 that the amount of outstanding ballots could influence that election. Mm-hmm. However, at this point, Josh Stein does have a lead, and it's likely, given voter trends, that lead could increase.
Okay, and let's end on the pending race for the state Supreme Court. There were three seats up for grabs. Two of them remain undecided.
That's right, and those are incredibly close, including especially the one for Chief Justice. And in that one, Sherry Beasley is actually trailing by 4,000 votes. Sherry Beasley is the Democrat. So that one could get really, really close. A, it's just a tiny amount of votes, 4,000. And if we perhaps do expect those absentee by mail votes to favor the Democrat, that could close that gap even more. So that's definitely one to watch, just because it's going to really come down to the wire.
That won't change the balance on the state Supreme Court, though, right?
It's a great point. Even if Sherry Beasley loses and we expect the other two seats to go Republican, that would still give Democrats a 4-3 majority. Of course, if Beasley wins, that would give Democrats a 5-2 majority on the Supreme Court. But yes, you're right. Democrats will maintain at least a 4-3 majority.
All right. So much data, so much to crunch. Stay tuned to Jason DeBruin's data reporting on Twitter and on our website. Jason, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. We're just going to have more fun all week.
Certainly we will. Stay tuned for that. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao.